Hello, this is Ahuka, and welcome to what is now the fourth in our ongoing series called Freedom is Not Free. We've already looked at the general issue of what we mean when we talk about freedom and free software. Then we took a look at the first of the issues that you could help with, which is filing bugs, a very important activity. And in our third program, we took a look at how you might be able to help with things like documentation. Well, today we're going to get to the spiritual part of this. We're going to talk about money. Now, money is an important thing. The people who work in free software actually do need money. It's something that I think is often overlooked. Most of the stuff we do does have expenses associated with it. If you are a developer working on a free software project, for instance, you may well require some amount of money to take care of your family. Now, I do understand that a lot of the developers that work in free software are supported by a corporate paycheck, and I think it is absolutely wonderful that companies like Red Hat and IBM and Canonical and Google, to name just a few that come to my mind right off the top of my head, that they are very happy to have people who are on their payroll who are working on free software projects and making a contribution that is very valuable to all of us. And I think that's great. And that's one of the reasons why I think, in turn, if we have a chance to support those companies by buying their products, that's something we should probably think about doing. But it's not always the case. There was a bit of a kerfuffle just in the last week or two about the software distribution that I use, which is known as Kubuntu. And that initial K is the hint that this is the one that has the KDE desktop. And the fellow named Jonathan, I think Riddell is maybe how it's pronounced, who is a Canonical employee who has been working on that project full-time as part of his job, had to post that, hey guys, I'm not going to be able to do it anymore. Canonical no longer thinks there's an economic business reason for supporting my work on this. Now, this turned into, for a few people, a sort of, Canonical pulls the plug on Kubuntu, project over, blah, blah, none of which is true. Because what a lot of people didn't realize is the vast majority of people working on that project were not hired by Canonical. And were not getting a paycheck. So, where do they get their money? Well, sometimes they have to come to us and ask for help. Another thing that we need to take a look at is that free software projects have expenses of various kinds. It's not just the developers, but you might need to have servers, and you might need to have that kind of infrastructure that is going to support a project, and that is going to require raising some money to do all of that. I think that those of us who are supporters of free software have to be sensitive to that. We need to be able to support the software we love. Now, this is something that I've had strong feelings about for a long time, even long before I was into Linux and free software. I remember there used to be something called shareware. It may still exist. I don't travel in those circles anymore, so I wouldn't know much about it. But the idea of shareware was that if you were interested in a piece of software written by an independent developer, they would let you sort of try it before you buy it kind of thing. And some of them it was the honor system, some of them what you tried was a stripped down version and you'd have to pay it and register it to get all of the features. But there were always people who thought that shareware meant you didn't have to pay for something and would essentially rip off the developers. I always thought that was pretty sleazy, and this is something that I was not going to do. So I registered and paid for any number of shareware programs over the years. And then when I got into Linux, you know, the general public license, for instance, is a wonderful thing. There's nothing in the general public license that says, you know, where there can never be any money changing hands. That's not really what free is about in this context. So, you know, how are we going to do this? And I think there's any number of ways. You just have to decide you're going to do it and be sensitive about it. The first one is, if you go to the project's website, and, you know, every software project probably has a website, and, oh, by the way, have you noticed companies are not giving away web hosting in most cases? So, who's paying for the website? But if you go to the website for a project, very often you are going to see a donate button, you know? They've tried to make it as easy as possible, hook into PayPal. Well, you know, if it's software you use and you can afford it, give them a few bucks. Now, if it's software you don't use, I mean, that's a different thing entirely. I don't think anyone's under any moral obligation to support software that they don't personally use. But I think if it's stuff that you do use, particularly if it's something you use frequently, you know, you really ought to help them out. Now, when I say that, obviously we're not saying make your children go to bed hungry. But is that really the case for most of the people in, particularly in the United States and Europe, who might be lovers of free software and involved with this? Are they really in a position where they have to choose between feeding their families and giving a little bit of support to a software project? I don't think so. I really don't. So generally speaking, if it's software I use and I see that donate button, I, you know, click the button, give them a few bucks. Right? Now for me, you know, $5 or $10 is not a big deal. It's pocket money in any event. So I'm more than happy to do that. And, so if I see the button, I will click on it. Other things that you can watch out for, you know, I talk about developers. There was something that I saw recently. Now I'm mentioning some of the things that I do. And I want to make clear, it's not because I'm trying to set myself up as being a, you know, especially wonderful person. It's just that I'm just giving some examples from my own experience and pointing out it doesn't have to be a big deal. You just have to make up your mind you're going to do these things, and it becomes very easy to do. So one day I'm, you know, reading my messages. I don't remember if this was email or on Google Plus or wherever that I saw this, but somewhere I saw a note that a fellow named, I hope I get his name right, Sebastian Trueg, who is a developer on the KDE project. And he posted something saying, I need to raise some money if I'm going to keep doing my work on this. Now, as I've said, I use a KDE distribution. That KDE desktop is important to me. So I saw that message, and it gave a link, and I got there. There's a donate button. I clicked it, and I think it was probably like 10 euros or something that I gave to him. Or maybe it was $10. I don't remember what currency it was denominated in. The number 10 is sort of the magic I can just do this without thinking about it thing for me. So I clicked the button. I gave him a few bucks. You know, another one, there is a program that I absolutely love. It's called Miro, M-I-R-O, and it lets me download and then play video podcasts of all kinds. And I think it's a wonderful project, and I get some just podcasts like Geek Beat and things like that, and you know, Hack 5 is a video podcast I get there. I get these wonderful videos from NASA because I love space, you know, so I think that's all great. And of course, Ask a Ninja and all of the things like that. So, you know, this is something I actually use every day. Okay? Because I'm always going in there to take a look at, you know, whatever is available. What are the new programs that I can take a look at? So it's a program I really rely on. So they had a fundraiser that, you know, they were looking for some support to keep the thing going, and they came up with, I thought it was kind of clever, adopt a line of code. So I thought, okay, so that, I think that looked like $4 a month is what it ended up being. And I thought, yeah, okay, yeah, I can do that. So I now have adopted a line of code. And at one point I took a look at the about page, or the about pop-up that you get on the software, and saw my name listed. I don't know if I'm still there, though. Doesn't matter. I know that I'm supporting them. Now, the other day, I got another one. This happened to involve Digicam, which is a photo organizer in KDE that I use a lot. So I thought, that's fine. So again, give them $10. Now, one that I didn't, I just mention it because I happen to see this, is Cyanogen Mod. And, you know, I saw this message that, you know, they were looking to raise some money to keep it going. And within a couple of hours, another message came through saying, yep, we've already met and exceeded all of our fundraising goals. So, okay. So that one was pretty popular. They didn't have any trouble raising their money, and, you know, good for them. I wouldn't want them to have any trouble raising their money. You know, if they were having a little more trouble getting there, I probably would have given them a few bucks, because I'm running Cyanogen Mod right now on a Nook Color that I rooted. A few other things. There was a thing recently for the Debian Administrator's Manual, and they were raising money to get that published. And, you know, the distribution I use is based on Debian. So, again, I thought, you know, give them $10. So those are just some of the things that I know that I've done. But, you know, there's other things you can do. Another thing is you can start supporting some of these organizations that are out there doing the good fight for software freedom. The first one I'm going to mention is the Free Software Foundation. Now, that's a little more expensive. That one is, I think, $10 a month is what I'm paying for that now. I'm very proud to be a member of the Free Software Foundation. I think it's important. It is the only group I can think of that is just consistently out there fighting for our freedom in the computing area. So this is the group that was set up by Richard Stallman, and, you know, they were the ones who came up with the general public license and things like that. So I'm very happy to be a member, and so I'm kicking over $10 a month. Now, I would have to say we all know Richard Stallman can be rather controversial, and I'm well aware of that. So you might look at that and say, you know, I don't want to go there. Well, then there's also the Linux Foundation. Linux Foundation is, Jim Zemlin is the executive director. You know, Linux Foundation is providing a paycheck to Linus Torvalds, you know. None of us who are Linux users would have anything to use if it wasn't for Linus. And recently, they just brought in as another fellow, in other words, someone who is on the payroll, Greg Crow Hartman, who is well known as one of the main kernel hackers and kernel maintainers. And so he's now on the payroll there. So, you know, this is another group that I think would be well worth your support. And that one, I think, is like $99 a year to be a member of that. And many of these, by the way, have reduced prices if you're a student. But yeah, that's not obviously not the status that I'm in, and as my hair turns progressively grayer. You know, joining these groups is a good thing. Another thing you can do to provide some support that you might not be aware of. There's a group called the Software Freedom Conservancy. And I learned about it because Bradley Kuhn, who is the executive director there, was one of our keynote speakers at Ohio Linux Fest this past year. And as I've mentioned, I'm the publicity director for Ohio Linux Fest, so I was involved initially with talking to Bradley about, you know, getting his bio information and publicizing it. And that started a nice little conversation, and you know, I got to hear more about the stuff that he's doing, and it's a very interesting group. Bradley used to be at the Free Software Foundation, and is still pretty well known as perhaps the major enforcer of the general public license. So, you know, he's very active in promoting that, and he loves to talk about that work, which, by the way, mostly involves just writing emails to companies saying, oh, by the way, you know, you took on an obligation when you used this software. Maybe you weren't aware of this. He doesn't sue people if at all possible, and so far he mostly avoids that. So now he's the executive director of the Software Freedom Conservancy, and what's that about? Well, what that is about is the fact that a lot of people, a lot of projects in the free software community, you know, need to raise money of various kinds. Which projects are we talking about? Well, here's a few of them. See if you've heard of any of these. Amarok, all right, very well known as a player of sound, MP3, and AUG, and things like that. So it's a great music program. Git, which is the software that Linus Torvalds recently was instrumental in developing for helping to manage software projects and replacement for things like Subversion. Samba, that's the software that allows people who want to use, want to connect to Windows computers and Windows servers, it allows that connection between Linux and Windows. So that's very important. And then Wine, which is for the people who wish to use Windows software and run that in a Linux environment. So that's just a few that I think are, you know, pretty well known. And these are all members of the Software Freedom Conservancy. Well, what does that mean? The Software Freedom Conservancy basically handles a lot of the stuff for these projects that they would otherwise have to handle for themselves, such as collecting donations, keeping bank accounts, you know, filing legal documents, etc. It does that on behalf of all of these individual projects. So you could certainly donate to the individual projects through the Software Freedom Conservancy. And the other thing is that the Software Freedom Conservancy itself is a nonprofit that is looking for support, and I will say on Bradley's behalf that I'm pretty sure they would be grateful for any donations to help support the work that they do. So that's another thing you could take a look at. And I think if you take a look at the work the Software Freedom Conservancy does, you'd agree that they're doing really good work and they deserve to be supported. So these are all some of the things that you can do with your hard-earned money to help support free software. I'm going to mention one other thing that you might not have thought of. There's something called the Linux Fund. And the Linux Fund, I think I heard about this initially through Randall Schwartz, the Perl programmer who has the podcast Floss Weekly. And I think he's on the board of directors of this Linux Fund, if I recall correctly. And what they do is they have affinity cards, and you may have seen these. You have credit cards that are tied to, you know, your organization or what have you. And it's a way of raising money. With affinity cards, if you sign up to get a credit card through them, then the sponsoring group gets a small cut of every transaction. So the Linux Fund offers a Linux affinity credit card. I I think it's MasterCard or Visa or one of the major ones like that, but, you know, have a nice little logo on it. And that's another way that you can support things. So, you know, here's I hope we've given you a lot of different ways that you can support financially all of the free software stuff that we know and love. So I'm going to now do a couple of plugs here. The first is for Ohio Linux Fest. We have our call for talks open, and we are looking for all sorts of people to come and give wonderful talks, because to tell you the truth, generally speaking, the people who talk are wonderful. They may not know that they are, but I've listened to quite a few over the years. We're looking for a wide variety, right? So if it's anything involving free and open software, if it's anything involving open hardware, it doesn't have to be limited to Linux. In fact, BSD is something that we consider to be important. We're looking for a wide variety of experience levels, so we want talks that are for expert system administrators, but we also want talks that are aimed at newcomers who are just learning about Linux. It's pretty much anything that is related to free and open software we're going to be interested in. And, you know, just submit a talk. I'm going to put the URL in the show notes for all of that, along with the URL of my own website. The other thing I want to mention is that Northeast Linux Fest is coming up. That is on March 17th in Worcester, Massachusetts, and they are going to have a wonderful program. Focus is on accessibility. So if you're going to be in the Massachusetts area, please take a look at dropping by. And this is Ahuka, and I'm signing off.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.